Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
Today, our church around the world celebrates the great feast of Pentecost. And this is really the birthday of our church. The apostles receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and in doing so, our church comes to life and begins the apostolic mission that Christ commissioned to evangelize and draw all people to God. And therefore, happy birthday. Now remember, last week, in the Acts of the Apostles, before Jesus ascends into heaven, he says to his apostles, "Go back into Jerusalem and prepare to receive the Holy Spirit." And what's their disposition? Prayer. It says in the Acts of the Apostles, not in this week's piece of scripture, but in Acts, it says that the apostles prayed day and night in the temple. Their prayer opened up their heart, their mind, and their soul to receive the Holy Spirit, and they did just that. We continue that same tradition. At the ritual of baptism, we pray for that infant, that child, or that adult that is about to receive baptism. We pray so that that person opens themselves up to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, just like the apostles. Confirmation, in which we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Confirmation is always held in the context of the Mass. And our church teaches us the Mass is the highest prayer that we have. Prayer is important before we receive any sacrament, but also daily prayer is very important for us all. Daily prayer cultivates and nurtures the proper environment for our Holy Spirit that dwells within us to always thrive and work in and through us. As I've said before, daily prayer is indispensable in the spiritual life. Next in the Gospel, it says, Jesus breathes upon the apostles, and they receive the Holy Spirit. The apostles receive the life-giving breath of God. Now, where else in Scripture do we see that divine breath of life being breathed into something and it immediately comes to life? Well, how about Genesis chapter 2, verse 7? God forms Adam out of clay and ground, and he breathes into his nostrils, and he comes alive. Now, appreciate really the symbolism here. The Hebrew word for clay or ground that is used here is Adama. And Adam is a Hebrew word. When translated, it means man. And so, God takes Adama, ground or clay, and he forms Adam, man. But he doesn't come to life until that miraculous transformation in which God breathes that divine breath of life into Adam. And immediately, Adam, or man, springs into life. Where else do we see that divine breath of life? How about Ezekiel, chapter 37? You know, there's that classic story. Ezekiel is standing on that plain. As far as the eye can see, it's huge, and it's riddled with bones. God says to Ezekiel, "Do you believe that I can turn these bones into life?" And Ezekiel responds by saying, "Lord, you are the only giver of life." Then, all of a sudden, the bones come together, and then muscle, and then tendons and sinew, and then skin. Suddenly, Ezekiel is looking out at a vast army of people standing before them. But they are not alive yet. Then God says to Ezekiel, "I will breathe my breath of life into them." Suddenly, a huge and strong and powerful wind rushes past Ezekiel and into the people, and they come alive. That wind is the Holy Spirit. And see, that's exactly what's happening here in the Gospel with Jesus breathing that breath of life into the apostles. And the apostles then burst out of that upper room and they begin to evangelize. What were the apostles doing prior to this? Well, they were locked in the upper room, trapped by their own fear. But now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, the apostles come to life and they boldly proclaim the gospel and the truth. That's why the church recognizes Pentecost as the birth of our church, and we see it on display in the scripture readings. The apostles received the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, and now our church is brought to life. The same thing holds true for us. At the moment of our baptism, the Holy Spirit rushed into our soul to take up residence there forever. At that moment, we began to participate in the life of Christ. That's why I always say, baptism is the second greatest event in our life. What's the first? When we come to the beatific vision, when we see it, when we come face to face with Christ in heaven, that will truly be the greatest event in our life. And yet at baptism, now we are equipped with the Holy Spirit. Now we come to know God in order to have life in Him. With that in mind, go to the second reading from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Paul writes, "No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." The true hallmark of the Holy Spirit working within us is that people can see that the Lord of our life truly is Jesus Christ. St. Therese of Lisieux once said, "Each one of us must act as though the perfection of the church depends upon our own personal conduct." I'll say that again. Each one of us must act as though the perfection of the church depends upon our own personal conduct. Well, what did she mean by that? Our conduct, our behavior, what we say and what we do should reflect authentic faith. Our behavior can either deepen or it can distance our awareness of our participation in the life of Christ. If the Holy Spirit is truly working in and through us, people will see it by what we say and by what we do. Now, Paul continues. He says, "To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit." What does he mean here? Our lives are dedicated for the edification or the building up of the church. Each and every one of us has been given gifts by God. Paul refers to them as charisms. And therefore, we must use these gifts, not for our own personal benefit, but for the benefit to serve God and others in this world. See, that's the heart of stewardship. Again, Paul writes, "To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit." Well, the benefit is to serve God and others in this world, just like Christ did. Go back to the story of the call, God's call of Jeremiah. Chapter 1, verse 5. God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were even born, I dedicated you, prophet to all the nations." Before we were even born, God bestowed upon each and every one of us charisms, talents, skills, and abilities, to be used expressly for building the church, serving God and others in this world. At the moment of baptism, when the Holy Spirit rushed into our soul, the Holy Spirit awakened or stirred up those gifts so that over time we came to understand and recognize the gifts that we have. At the time of confirmation, when we were sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, now we recognized our duty and our responsibility to share those gifts for the benefit of the church. Now, with that in mind, go back into the first reading, the Acts of the Apostles. The apostles receive their first installment of gifts, the ability to speak many different languages. This is just one of the many gifts that the Holy Spirit will give the apostles. Now, they receive this gift of speaking many languages for the express purpose of evangelizing all people, not just an exclusive sect or group of people, to draw all people to God. And now we must continue that ministry ourselves. we have to prayerfully discern what the gifts of the Holy Spirit are and then use them to draw people to God. I'll give you some examples. Maybe your gift of the Holy Spirit is to teach. You're a good teacher. Well, go and volunteer in a religious ed program, your school, teach Bible study. Now, like the apostles, you speak a language, the language of catechesis, to teach people the faith. Maybe your gift is a compassionate heart. Good. Then go and visit people that are sick in hospitals or nursing homes, or the lonely that are shut-ins. Bring them communion. Now, like the apostles, you speak a language, the language of a compassionate heart for the lowly and those in despair. Maybe your gift is of social justice. So go. Go and volunteer for meal programs or for Respect Life groups. Now you speak, like the apostles, a language. In this case, it's a language of hope for those people that know nothing but hopelessness. See, these are just a few ways in which we, like the apostles, recognize the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within us. We come to life, and then we share the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us for the edification or building up the church. That's why I always say, Pentecost is not a day in which we celebrate once a year. It should be something we live out each and every day of our life. We recognize the gifts that God has given us. We recognize the Holy Spirit working in and through us. And then, like the apostles, we surrender. We surrender to the power of the Holy Spirit, and we realize that we are able to do things that we never thought we were possibly able to do through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's the beautiful gift of Pentecost. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.